We all know how overwhelming it can feel to try to decide what to eat, what's healthy, what's not. The options are endless, which is why my mom and I have been absolutely loving Factor. If you're ready to optimize your nutrition this year, Factor is perfect for you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, so it's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, which is exactly why my mom and I have been loving it so much. They have 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, so it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. You can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. And best of all, Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. I got some juices in my last delivery that I've been loving having as an in-between my delicious meals. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first blocks plus free shipping. That's FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
One holiday gathering is not the time to try to fix or change anything, but you can prepare yourself yes. to be the greatest and strongest version of who you are.
Everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host here, and I am sitting with my mother, Barb, and we're so excited to be chatting with you all again this week, as per usual. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing?
Hi, Michelle. I'm good. Oh, I'm good.
And I'm so happy to hear it. And I'm so happy to be with you, sitting across you in your very sparkly, festive sweater.
Yeah, I just got this as a holiday gift.
You might not be able to see her, but you may be able to watch her soon. That's a Easter egg of what is to come. But she's wearing a very lovely, festive holiday sweater, like a sparkly Christmas ornament.
Yeah, a gold sparkly ornament.
Love it.
And I think I'm excited to have this conversation as we near the end
yes.
of 2024.
Yes.
I don't know about all of you listening, but I'm trying to live in the moment one day at a time. Mm-hmm. But also I'm thinking about all of the possibilities for 2025 and thinking about the reflection for 2024. And I'm excited. I think it's like the combination of all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to talk about this topic today.
I love that you're so excited about all of the things. And, you know, we are in this last chunk or chapter of 2024. It's a busy time of year. We've talked about the complicated dynamics that arise during the holidays, the expectations, the added stress. You know, as we get closer to the end of the month and ending the calendar year, like you said, Mom, it's a super reflective time where we often dive into taking inventory of our lives and of the past 12 months, what worked, what didn't. And there's a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings that come up in doing so. And one of the biggest aspects of our lives, I think, that really, that a mirror is shown or a spotlight is put on this time of year, especially our relationships, in that reflective time, in a time where we often visualize or imagine like the idealized version of our lives. We're with family, we're with our relationships, we're with, you know, the people in our lives that bring the best of us out of us and make us feel supported. It's often interesting to then think of maybe that we don't necessarily have that. I know for so many years in my life, around the holidays and around the end of the year, I often feel a little left behind if I don't have the relationships that I'm wanting in my life, or if I have a complicated relationship, or if I'm going through a difficulty in a relationship. It just feels like it's all at the surface this time of year. And so we really wanted to dive into just the dynamic of, and I think this word can be often overused, so I'd like to even break it down a little further today, but toxic relationships and toxic dynamic in relationships. And just how can we start to feel more empowered in our relationships to, show up and kind of teach people how we want to be treated and also treat people the way they want to be treated and ultimately create relationships that are mutually beneficial, that are equally kind and caring, but also that allow us to be exactly who we are, which is what we all want, I think, but it's obviously not always easy to do so.
And I think why this becomes a little bit more tricky during this time of year, and this is my perspective, this is how I, after all my years on the planet and thinking about holiday times and all the things, all the expectations that I had and all the things that I wanted to happen, as I've gotten older, I've really thought about this. And yes, the idea of toxic or difficult are hard to be around, whatever words really feel right for you. For me, as I look at going into the holiday time and how do I manage those kinds of relationships, what I've thought about the most, especially even this year, I think, because for me, this has been a difficult year. And if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard all of the difficulties.
It's been a difficult few years.
It's been a difficult couple years.
I was going to say, I feel like I can picture you saying yes. That at this time last year as well.
I'm sure that I did. So as I look into ending 2024, what I've really come to realize is the holiday time is not the time to try to fix people. It's not the time to try to teach them a lesson or teach them what you feel or teach them what they've done wrong or teach them, period. Actually, just teach them, period. And I think as I go into this holiday time, I don't want to teach anyone anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fix anyone. I don't want to take anything personally or be offended by anything anyone has to say, because let's face it, if we're coming into the holiday season with family members that push our buttons, we already know.
Yeah. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, exactly, Michelle. We already know all of this. So I think what I want to go into this end of the year, as you said beautifully, Michelle, reflecting on the end of the year, I want to go into this holiday season feeling at peace, mm-hmm. or feeling grounded in who I am, but also armed with all the things that I need to kind of pivot conversations or to kind of pivot things in a way that I don't feel put upon or that I need to fix something or feel harmed or feel like I need to do anything but just be, which is kind of what you just said earlier. Like, how can we just go into this season being our authentic selves without feeling like we have to change anything in the external world, which is a big task. Mm-hmm. It's a huge task.
Well, you said something interesting just a little bit ago that I'm wondering if it can relate to ourselves as well. You said, I don't want to go into this holiday season trying to change anyone or to teach anyone or to fix anything. And I know that that's in the lens of relationships, but would you say that we should also think about that for ourselves? Like, we don't need to fix ourselves this holiday season or try and change ourselves or be so critical or harsh on ourselves just because it is the end of the year or we're in that reflective time of the holidays. Is that applicable?
I want to give you a clap. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Why do we think that? I think it's a combination. I've been reflecting on this a lot. And I think it's a combination of ending a year, you know, and beginning a new year. We've all been geared and programmed to think, oh, we're starting a new year, so we have to do all these new things and mm-hmm. fix and change and do all of that. But no, we're also ending a year. So I feel like these kind of come together as not an explosion, but as two things coming together that necessarily don't go together.
I wish you,
And so,
just to be inside your brain sometimes would be fascinating, but this is as close as we're going to get, I guess.
Well, I think here's what I've been thinking about. Let me give you this example. We're ending a year. So why in the world would we want to end a year trying to fix everything at the end of a year? Mm-hmm. And instead, what I've been reflecting on is I just want to be who I am.
Yeah.
I just want to relax. I want to be patient. I want to be accepting. I want to be true to who I am, but also let other people be who they are. Like, I think I'm going to fix them in one day of having a dinner at the end of the year. Not possible. We already know that.
One dinner with like many people and many different dynamics going on.
We've all already tried that. I mean, come on. We've already tried that. So that's the end of the year. I just want to go in feeling me and feeling relaxed and calm and centered and really being authentic to who I am without trying to change anyone else. And then, you know, less than what, 7 days later or whatever it is later after the holiday season into the new year, we're all meant to now step up and have all these new things that we want to change about ourselves and what we want to project and what we want to intend and what we want to resolute for the new year. So I think what I want to say today on this episode is be present. Be mm-hmm. in the moment of ending the year before you even start about thinking, before you even start thinking about beginning a new year. You have another whole week or so after the end of this year to be able to think about what you want to do for 2025. So just be present. Mm-hmm. And I think that will change. For me, I know that it will. I think it will change the way you step into any family dynamics that you have that are happening for the holiday time.
Yeah, I really love that reframe, and just it's helpful, if nothing else, to take the pressure off of ourselves this time of year, that because we're in this hyper reflective state and maybe we have some extra time on our hands if we're off from work or, you know, on vacation or on leave or whatever, that, you know, we have to get all of this done or we have to solve all of our problems. But I love that you said, can we just be with ourselves and accept ourselves as we are, knowing that, you know, the changes or the shifts or the things that we identify that we want to do in the upcoming year that will come. But can we just be in this moment? I love that.
You said it great, Michelle. Can we take the pressure off? And I think that's what happens for me. I've noticed over the years that I feel the most pressure at the end of the year, holiday time. Not only do I want it perfect, I want everybody to get along, but I'm also thinking about what do I want next? Mm-hmm. How do I want this to be?
Always on to the next thing.
Yeah. How do I want my life to be? So I think this episode for us in this whole discussion is how can we just be okay with what is right now? Because we can't change it right now. I mean, we can change our, as you always say, Michelle, we can't change what's happening in the external world. So we can't change anybody
you
or anything
that.
Out there. Well, you do too.
Well, because you do. You taught that to me.
Yes, I did. But the beautiful thing that you say in addition to that is, how can we respond to it differently? Mm-hmm. How can we show up differently? So this episode, I believe, is for us to talk about how can we give some tools or tips or experiences that we can show up a little differently. Like, what is one thing, one way that we can show up differently to the holiday gathering, event, family dinner, whatever it is that's being planned for you in this holiday season? How can we show up one way differently that I think helps you and us all, for me, be aligned with who I am and be more patient and more loving and more accepting of what is, instead of, you know, what I said a few minutes earlier, like instead of entering into this holiday season thinking we have to change something or thinking that we have to be something that we're not or being stressed mm-hmm. or pressured over what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Who made the rules anyways? Like our friend Tara Stiles says, we can make our own rules this year. So
I'm just going to say one thing, because the truth is relationships are difficult. We already know this. We know this for the whole 360 or 355 or whatever it is before we enter
That's
the holiday
math.
Season. We already know that relationships are difficult. And I think to think that we could actually change it or I don't know, be, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about, not only can we not change it in a nanosecond, we actually could just, the opportunity to make things differently could be that we just accept it and be loving and kind and patient mm-hmm. without losing ourselves in the mix.
Yeah. So we started off this conversation thinking and talking about toxic relationships and what that means as far as, like, what is a toxic relationship? We hear, oh, you're toxic. This is toxic. This is a toxic relationship. It's a kind of overused word. I feel like everything is labeled as toxic, even if maybe it's just minorly inconvenient or frustrating or annoying. And so to start off, I just wanted to, you know, define and clarify what a toxic relation means, because not every difficult relationship is a toxic relationship. Not every failed relationship is a toxic relationship. And I think sometimes we have the tendency to lump it all into toxicity just because it didn't work, or you didn't get along, or you just had opposite interests.
Or we didn't like what was happening.
Right. And of course you can choose to define your life in whatever way that you want to. But I think getting clear about what is an actual toxic relationship is important. And I'll link this article in the show notes, but according to Very Well Mind, a toxic relationship is one that makes you feel unsupported, misunderstood, demeaned, and attacked. A relationship is toxic when your well-being is threatened in some way, emotionally, psychologically, and even physically, which I think that is pretty much in alignment with what we would say, especially when you think of that your well-being being threatened emotionally, physically, or emotionally, or psychologically and physically, all the ways. That's a big definition. It's not just, again, you know, growing apart or having different interests. A toxic relationship is one, you know, it's a one-sided thing. It's one where you're not being supported, or you're not being seen or heard, or, you know, the other person, or maybe me or you, isn't showing up to the relationship as an equal partner in that exchange. And so just starting from there with that definition and with that understanding, I think we all can probably think of some people or some circumstances in our lives that might fall into that definition. And like you said, Mom, this is a busy time of year. We can't assume and expect to be able to fix our relationships, to change our relationships, or maybe it's not even necessarily the time to end a relationship if we want to. So how can we really manage some of these toxic or difficult dynamics in our relationships, in our lives, that can make us or help us to feel a little more in control or at peace, or just with some acceptance, to use your words?
Well, and I think what's been tricky for me over the years is when you think about your definition, and I'm in total agreement of your definition of a toxic relationship, when you stated psychologically being attacked.
Manipulation.
Psychologically being abandoned, or psychologically being manipulated. It's so easy to identify a toxic or harmful relationship when it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Well, that's abuse.
Yeah, we all know that. It's so easy for all of us to say.
Right.
But I think so often in talking to so many people that I've talked to over the years, and even my own self for sure, not only even my own self and my own self, when you're being abused or when you're being psychologically attacked, it's so tricky. So for me, in thinking about going into the holidays, why I said be more patient, be more accepting of who you are and what you can and what you can't do, it didn't mean allow yourself to go into a situation and be attacked.
Right.
It didn't mean any of that. So if you're being psychologically attacked or abused, it really matters. I would think the first thing that I would think about is it something that I want to put myself in? Is it a place that I want to put myself into? And if the answer is yes, it's my family and I want to be there, then I think there are some things that have to happen for you so that you don't feel attacked.
Right.
How can we go into a family holiday dinner or a holiday party or a holiday situation, whatever it is that's being planned, and be attacked and feel like we're going to be attacked? So you have to have, and we've talked about this in other episodes, you have to have a toolkit, really.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have things to arm yourself. But I think more importantly than that you have to understand how the dynamics of how am I being attacked psychologically? Mm-hmm. What can I do about it? Are there ways that I can protect mm-hmm. and take care of myself if I choose to go into this situation?
And that's a good point too. You know, the physical nature of a toxic relationship can often be apparent. And I think that's why it's so difficult sometimes to even identify a toxic relationship or a toxic pattern in our relationships, because it can sometimes fly beneath the surface. We can try to convince ourselves that it's not real. It's where, you know, gaslighting is a huge part of this, because, you know, if we're catching on to a toxic pattern, that the manipulator or the, you know, the emotional abuser can convince you otherwise. And so it's not always easy to identify these subtle or not so subtle, but harmful toxic patterns. And just thinking about what that really looks like, it is manipulation, jealousy, constant drama. Lack of empathy is a huge red flag for me in my relationships. Emotional unavailability. You know, toxic relationships can have guilt trips, criticisms, constantly complaining or putting other people down. And, you know, I think sometimes some of those patterns can be normalized. You know, we all love like a gossip session or, you know, things like that. But look for some of these patterns in a way that really like bring you down and deplete your energy and make you feel worse after being with that person or talking with that person. Because that's really what we talk about when we say like an emotional vampire, you know, with those people that just suck your energy and make you feel completely depleted. Of course, this is also when we're talking about narcissists, you know, the people that only care about themselves and will do anything to elevate themselves above all else. And of course, you know, the people that are just seeking out drama and chaos and, you know, get adrenaline or get high off of creating problems. I mean, those are the kinds of people that, you know, as we talked about at the jump of this episode, life is difficult. Our relationships are difficult enough. It's hard enough managing life. I don't particularly want to have those kinds of people in my circle adding to the difficulty that I'm already going through day in and day out. And so just having that clarity.
Awareness, yeah.
And awareness of what to look for and to start to, you know, keep your antenna up for when communicating with people, when meeting people, and just being very present to some of these dynamics so that we can start to, you know, identify them and set boundaries when we need to.
Well, I think as we're talking about going into the holiday season, and if some of you are going to have to go into situations like this with family members or friends or whatever gathering that you're intended to go to, making sure that you know all this, like being aware of all this. I know my trigger is always when I'm told I'm being too sensitive.
Yep.
I get that a lot.
Or when you're called names.
Or when I'm called names. So it's very, I guess this whole episode is geared toward, so many people have said to us, but Barb, but Michelle, what if we have to go into these situations? What if it's our family? What if we're already intending to go into these situations? What can we do in the moment? Mm-hmm. And so this whole episode is geared toward giving you a couple of things for your, as you always say, Michelle, your back pocket. Because this is not about trying to change or fix, as I said in the beginning. It's not about any of that, because we can't do that if we're going into a holiday gathering. We cannot fix it.
Right.
But we can take care of ourselves. So you can arm yourself with all the things that you need and become aware of all the things that you need and then have the tools of what you need to try to protect yourself, to try mm-hmm. to be okay in the moment. Knowing, this is what I always think about, in the past when I would go into situations of especially holiday time, I would think, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
This is not going to last forever.
Well, that's so sad.
Well, let me preface. Yeah, it is sad, but that is the reality of it.
I know.
So it is sad, but that is the reality of it. I can't change it, and it is what it is. And so it's sad, but it's also empowering. I think that's what I wanted to say more than anything else. When you can walk into a situation and be grounded in who you are and feel empowered and not let the external world or not let other people's opinions and comments and attitudes and things affect you. And it doesn't mean that you become a doormat.
Right.
It doesn't mean you become a target. Oh, just let them keep shooting the arrows at me and see how much I can handle. No, it means that you are armed with the things that you need in order to take care of yourself in the moment. And I think that's the most powerful thing we can do as a human. If it is that we've decided to enter into this whole gathering to begin with.
Right.
And I think that's the first thing. If you're making the decision, I have to go or I want to go, whatever the words are, then you've made that decision. And if that decision is final, like I can't change my mind, then how can you protect yourself the best way that you possibly can and take good care of yourself the best way that you can?
Right.
And I think you and I have like three or four different things that we can help people with that they're going, you're going.
And this isn't just at the holidays. This is like in your life in general.
Exactly.
Too.
But we're in the holiday season.
I know.
Season.
I'm just saying like this can apply to anything.
100%. 100%.
Just throwing that out there.
No, 100%. But I do want to give a little caveat when I'm thinking about life in general for the other, you know, 11 and a half months.
Yeah.
We can make a lot of different changes and we can actually think about how do I want to change myself in order to, there's a lot more things that can happen than a one holiday gathering.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I know.
Like there are a lot more options.
All right. I agree.
I think we go.
Things to consider.
Because I just want to say this one more time. I think we go into family gatherings thinking that it we want to change it. Like we don't want it to be this way. And we go in kind of, I don't want to say it this way, but it's going to come off this way as like a chip on our shoulder. Like, I'm so tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to fix this. You all have to listen to me.
I was going to say, I've been speaking from experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been there.
I've seen this film before.
Yeah. And it just.
I didn't like the ending. No. As Taylor Swift says.
Take it from me. One holiday gathering is not the time to try to fix or change anything, but you can prepare yourself yes. to be the greatest and strongest version of who you are.
Yes.
So yes. What are the things, Michelle? Yeah.
Thank you, Mom, for that clarification. And so just having that in mind,
I just don't want people to think we walk into a minefield. We're never saying go walk into a minefield and take it.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
Okay.
If you've already decided, please message us and we'll clarify it for you.
This is if you've already decided I'm walking into this difficult, toxic, possibly
yes, I think you've made it
situation.
Clear that okay. this is something where people have made the choice to participate.
Okay.
So how can you arm yourself if it's going to be challenging or uncomfortable?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for always getting us to that crystal point of clarity.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah. And I was there with you. I saw it too.
Yes.
So thinking, going back to how you can start to identify the toxic people in your life, I think just before going into any kinds of these environments or circumstances, just being prepared and knowing or identifying the people that you might need to be prepared for is obviously a huge first step. Like we talk about so often on the show, awareness is always the first step towards making sort of any change or being proactive in that way. So just knowing what you're going up against and what you might face so that you can be ready for it. You know, this makes it sound like we're going into war or battle or something. But the holidays can feel that way. And you mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, but it is, you know, one of the most important, but so hard to put into place, tools that we talk about often is to not take things personally, that especially when it's coming from people who don't have your best interest at heart. I mean, obviously, this is a blanket statement to not take things personally, but if it's coming from someone who loves to, you know, rib you or poke fun at you or to make things difficult for you or to gaslight you or manipulate you, like, especially don't take the things that they say and do personally.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
no, that's perfect. Cause I think that's we, especially as you said, like, I'm speechless a little bit because, you know, their behavior is not about you. And we already know that. I mean, we walk away from situations like this in life, not just in holiday gatherings, when we're saying, oh my gosh, their behavior was terrible. What is my response to it? It's negative. They're abusing me. They're invading me, whatever that, whatever's happening. And it's not about you. It's about their perception of what is happening. And I think we've talked about this so often on the show, but in holiday gathering time, it's so important that what other people are saying and doing is not about you. It's about their perception of what they're seeing and what they're feeling and what they're going through.
Yeah, it's through their own lens of their lives.
Exactly. And so it doesn't mean that you are to stand there and be abused or invaded or abandoned or taken advantage of by them. It means that if they start to offer some kind of abuse or attack or sarcasm or a joke at your expense, it means that you don't take it personally by going back at them and creating more of a detrimental argument about it. You just say, excuse me, I'm going to go for a walk. Or excuse me, I don't agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to go take a little break, or I'm going to go see if they need help in the kitchen, or I'm going to go play with the little baby that was just born or whatever it is, or I'm going to go take the dog for a walk. Whatever it is, you have another out. It doesn't mean that you accept it, but you just say, let's agree to disagree on this one, and I'm going to go for a walk.
Hey friends, health, wellness, and aging are all things that we think about all the time. But did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right, it's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True test, you can discover your biological age, plus get insights into the things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part, it's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my TrueAge test, my mom did too, and we're super excited to see what it reveals about our health, our wellness, if we really are as young as we think we are or as healthy as we think we are. We're so excited for those results. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether that's exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's all about taking those actionable steps to improve your well-being, which, as you know, are so important to the both of us. TrueAge Test is the same technology that's used and trusted by leading doctors, researchers, and health experts around the world. So think about it. What would it be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body? True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. So, ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. And our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Well, I think the whole point of this one as well is to not believe what they're saying.
Exactly.
Right.
And you can't change what they're saying.
Well, no, you can't change anyone. But I think the crux to not taking things personally, especially in these environments that might often feel tense or overwhelming, is, you know, I can think of many times where I've left a holiday gathering or just a normal gathering and maybe, you know, someone had made a judgment about a lifestyle choice or, you know, especially since it's the holidays, the dreaded question of like, when are you going to get married or when are you going to have kids or blah, 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 all that stuff. And I could, you know, buy into that or believe it. Oh, you know, they've asked me that the past 2 years in a row, they're right. I really need to figure this out. There is something wrong here. Like, you know, all of that stuff, all of the stories that we can write and believe based on someone else's behavior. You don't have to do that. Just don't believe it. Don't let the things that they say and do seep into your being and your energy and affect you and how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your life. It's like, if nothing else, you know, energetically or imagine like you're being protected by a bubble or something, to where those things that, you know, these people say and do can't infiltrate what we know to be true about ourselves.
Exactly. So don't engage in a conversation about it. And then I think that's
why sometimes people can just say mean things.
Well, my go-to is let's agree to disagree. I'm going to go for a walk. I mean, going for a walk is my thing. Going outside is my thing. And everyone knows that's my thing. So like, I agree with you. You can't engage in a conversation about it, but you don't have to take it. And I think this is the most difficult thing that everyone talks about. How do we manage when someone says something attacking or when someone says something that's not, or asks a question, hey, when are you going to get married? Or says something that's very triggering. You know, how do we deal with it? And the only way that I've known to deal with it is to not engage it. Is to just say, you know, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to run for a little walk. I'm going to go take the dog for a walk or whatever it is. I'll be back. Like, to not engage the conversation, because how do you engage it? You can't. It's what you were saying, Michelle, that, you know, they have different thoughts and they're triggered, especially if it's something that's triggering. I can't engage a conversation with someone that has triggered me. And so, especially if it's holiday time, I don't want to get into a conversation with someone about something that they already know they're trying to trigger me, because most often that's the case, right? They're trying to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's something, like you said, that's been said before. So I don't engage it. I nip the conversation in the bud and say something like, I'm going to go for a walk. I don't agree. Let's just leave it here. Whatever feels right for you, but allowing yourself the possibility of knowing exactly what you were saying, that that's not true. And it's not something that you want to be engaged or triggered by.
Yeah. I mean, I think this whole conversation is truly about boundaries and, mm-hmm. you know, knowing what you will and will not tolerate, knowing what kinds of comments or commentary about your life you can just let roll off your back and which ones, you know, you want to stand firm on. And getting really clear within yourself of what you will and will not engage with is hugely important, especially in these times, because maybe, you know, something that I might find triggering, you might be comfortable mm-hmm. in, you know, debating with someone at the dinner table. everyone's different. Everyone has their own limits. So getting really clear what you will and will not tolerate, what boundaries you want to set about those things. And I know boundaries is another thing we're going to talk about, but again, it's just the clarity of knowing what you're getting into, knowing what you will and will not tolerate, and just remembering that, like you always say, Mom, no one has the power to name who you are. And when people make comments or do hurtful things, it's not about you, it's about them.
Well, I think it goes back to what you started with, not taking it personally.
Well, yeah.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember this example years ago.
Wait.
One of my family members said to me, I understand Michelle's going to Indiana University. Don't you think she could have gotten into a better school? And
if anyone's a Hoosier here, you can take that personally. Gasp.
Well, and so my comment back, because I know the context, we all know the context. Come on. I think we just have to be really honest with ourselves when we're walking into a family situation and not sugarcoat it and just know, okay, this is it. What is my intention? And my intention for that moment, that holiday time, my mom was very, very sick at the time. And my intention was for us to have a good holiday time. So anyway, so when that was said to me, I just said, I love Indiana University. I think it's great. I'm going to take my dog for a walk. I'll be back. And so I knew in that moment what was happening, but I also knew that I couldn't engage the conversation. Because how do you engage a conversation like that? And I use that example because I feel like many people have situations like that happen to them. Hey, I heard you're doing this.
Belittling.
Yeah. Couldn't it have been better? Do you think that's up to your potential? Do you think you're good enough for that?
Yeah.
You know, whatever
chipping
it is,
away
chipping
you.
Away at you. And it was perfect. I took the dog for a walk.
Yep.
You know, and I was gone for probably 45 minutes or whatever. And I think it's important to take in what Michelle said. I didn't take it personally, but it was hard because in the beginning I'm thinking, I wanted to say,
who are
what?
You to say that?
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted to say what? But then I remembered, yeah, it's a perfect fit. This is what she chose. I love it. Why am I going to let someone in the outside world say, hey, and disrupt my whole thought process?
Well, and whatever that person thinks about it has nothing to do with us.
Exactly. It's their own opinion. So I wanted to give that example because I think it's a good one. I think often, as you said, Michelle, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? People like to come at us with, oh, do you think that was a good enough choice? Couldn't she have done better? Or couldn't you have done better? Or did you really think about that job that you just took? You know, is that exactly what you want to do in your life? I mean, I think we all get situations, some version of that.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm truly trying to say is don't engage it.
Yeah.
Like have an out. I'm going to run to the grocery store because I think we need carrots. I'm going to go to Starbucks because I want to get a coffee, or I'm going to go here because I want to do that. I'm going to take my dog for a walk.
Yeah.
Have something in your back pocket.
Yeah.
That it's just rolls right off your tongue. Oh, I don't necessarily, and I'm not saying to take it. I said, I don't really agree with that.
Yep.
You know, we both love that university. I'm going to take my dog for a walk.
Yep. That's a great example. I'll have to ask you off mic who that was, although I can probably imagine who it was.
Well, I think it's universal.
Yep.
I hope it's something that resonates in some version for everyone. And I think you're right, Michelle. What's so important in that situation is having a boundary. Don't take it. Excuse yourself from the conversation and go do something else without being rude or whatever, because you don't want to be tit for tat and be rude and whatever, but also don't take it personally. Those two go hand in hand. Set some boundaries and don't take anything anyone says personally because it's not about you.
Yeah. And just to, you know, finish up the boundaries, even though that is one in and of itself, but really getting clear on your boundaries, especially at the holidays, but you know, at any time in life is hugely important in protecting your peace and promoting your own self-care and wellness. And the biggest step for that, or the biggest thing I can say about boundaries, is getting that clarity about yourself and realizing that boundaries aren't a punishment for other people, but rather taking an action on the knowing of what you need moment to moment. And when you think about toxic relationships or difficult family members or difficult anyone in your life, set clear boundaries with them and hold them accountable for it. And you might not be able to say it to them, but you can say it to yourself. You know, if someone starts to get cruel and mean, like you said, Mom, I'm going to walk away and go do another task. Or if things get heated or elevated, or if there's yelling, you know, I'm going to excuse myself. Knowing your limits, knowing what you will and won't tolerate, like I said before, is important, because then you'll just, if you don't know, or if you don't have it in your mind of what that boundary is, you'll likely allow yourself to be present for anything. You know, you'll sit through the emotional abuse or the interrogation or the disrespect, and you aren't deserving of that kind of treatment. So thinking about where you draw the line in your lives is really a great first step.
I think that's why it's important to nip it the first second that it happens, knowing what your boundary will be, knowing what you'll take, and take an action right away, especially as we keep talking about this being a family gathering, not allowing it in the first moment, thinking, okay, I can do this little bit. I can do this little bit. I can do, because then it explodes. I've been there.
Yes.
I've been there where it explodes. I'm thinking, okay, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, I kept saying to myself, I can think of a situation. I'm sitting at the dinner table. It's fine. I got this. It's fine. And yeah. It's not fine. It's not fine. And so just really, I can't impress enough about not allowing it in the moment. The minute that you start to feel triggered by something, don't take it personally and just excuse yourself. Because for me, that going for the walk with my dog got me clear. Okay, wait a minute, Barb. I'm at a family gathering. I'm not going to change these people. I already knew that this was going to happen. That's why I have this little thing in my back pocket. That's why I know when I'm going to respond. It's not personal. Just be calm and enjoy the moment in whatever way that you possibly can. And I'm not saying that there's sometimes when it gets exploded where you can't enjoy the moment. And then that's what you're talking about, Michelle, having that clear boundary where if it gets out of control and you feel you're being attacked in a way that you can no longer stand it, then you have a choice. You know, I love all of you very much, or I wanted to be here, but I need to go.
And also, you know, with boundaries, there's also thinking about like compromise. And I think when we think about family gatherings and holidays and elevated emotions and different personalities, compromise is also hugely important too. So think about where you can practice compromise. Like, you know, one person might like to make mashed potatoes this way, but you like to make them this way. Is that really worth, you know, the fight for you? Like really understanding your priorities and what really matters to you, so that maybe you can give in to some of those other things that might be huge fights in another realm. Like, you know, in our family, who runs the kitchen is a big deal. And so who makes the potatoes? It could be, you know, a testy conversation. So just knowing where you can compromise too, and not always have to fight about something, is also an art form and is also really helpful and important. And are you laughing?
Because that's why I walk the dog.
And you do the dishes.
I do the dishes. I set the table and I run errands.
Yeah.
You're right. Running the kitchen is not a place that I want to be.
Yeah.
And I think when you know that about yourself, and you know that about the family members or the people that you're going to be at this gathering, it's really helpful to know, where can I be that feels safe and that feels less, the least amount of aggravation, chaos, trouble, all the things. And it's perfect. For me, it was always... It took me a while. It took me a long while to figure this out. But for me, it was great. Mm-hmm. I knew, you know, where I wanted to be. I knew where I didn't want to be. And I knew that if I stayed in my own lane of what it was that I knew was going to cause, it was kind of like the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing.
And picking your battles.
Yeah. It's one day.
Yeah.
Most often for all of us in listening to this episode and all of us talking, it's one day. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about all the differences and all the family dynamics later in the rest of the year. I'm not saying you put up with garbage the whole year for the rest of your life. It's one day. And unless it's being very, I think, harmful, it's for you to decide that. If it's being harmful, you get yourself out. You figure out how to protect yourself. If it's, oh my gosh, they don't like the way I'm making the stuffing of the, I remember that was a whole big deal when you were born.
Everyone has.
Like you were 6 months old. And
opinions about
trying
stuffing.
To make the stuffing for the dinner was like the biggest fight in the world.
Well, because one side of the family wanted to put raisins in the stuffing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how the other side wanted
but
it.
But I know. And it caused the biggest fight in the world. So those kind of things to me are not, as I've learned, as I've gotten older, are not necessary in the whole scheme of things. It's not that big of a deal. So for all of you listening, what is it that's not a big deal? And how can you participate in the path of least resistance that protects yourself, that keeps you safe, that keeps you sane, that keeps you grounded, that keeps you calm?
Yeah. And I think going back to how you started this episode, knowing that you can't fix people or you can't fix a dysfunctional or toxic situation, and it's not your job to try and fix people. It's a harsh reminder, but knowing that you can't change another person. I can't change you. You can't change me. We can't change each other. And it's not our job to. It's not our responsibility to. You know, ultimately, we all have to be responsible for ourselves and for the energy that we bring to life and to any given situation. So having the acceptance and awareness that we can't change people and that we can't fix people is a huge step. And it lets ourselves off the hook for thinking that if we were a little more accommodating or a little nicer, or a little more accepting or a little more whatever, fill in the blank, then maybe that person would be different or act different. That's setting ourselves up for disappointment and failure when we think about it that way and that we're the problem. And so just that simple, it's simple, but not easy to always put into practice, but shifting your perspective from trying to fix it to acceptance also brings a lot of inner peace.
And I think one of the things, Michelle, that's helped me the most in my lifetime, I think all of you know, I went into treatment 40 years ago for bulimia. And I think all of my treatment center was the 12-step program. And one of the most incredible things that I learned there, and I've used it in my life these 40 years since that treatment center, is that I can do anything for one day that maybe I couldn't do for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I even break it down. I can do anything for 1 minute here that maybe I couldn't do for 5 hours or whatever it is. And I think that feeling, now none of this, and I always bring this up because I don't want anyone to ever think this. None of this is at the expense of your harm. Or none of this is, no, I couldn't do anything for one day that was attacking me and harming me and abusing me and degrading me and all of the things. I'm never talking about that. I'm talking about the simple things of going to a family dinner or a holiday dinner when someone is being annoying or when someone is being attacking in a way that's supposedly joking. Oh, that was just a joke.
Yeah, the instigators, the people that push your buttons.
Or you're too sensitive, or someone brings up, like you get that often, how come you're not married yet? When are you going to have kids or whatever it is? Those kinds of things are just, they're not appropriate and they're not okay. We never condone that kind of thing, but it's going to happen. I mean, that's the way families are. And so when we can go into a situation, so that has helped me the most, especially in situations like what I just talked about earlier about, don't you think Michelle could have gone to a better university? Those kind of things are not, I can't change that. Mm-hmm. And why would I want to? I mean, how are you going to change something like that? How are you going to come back at something like that without it going into a raging fight or a raging argument? It doesn't matter. It makes absolutely no difference what that person thinks. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is not something that I can change. And I can leave the conversation, which is what I did. And I think that's the thing for me that I hope that all of you can get. You don't have to stand there and endure it. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the world says you have to stay in that conversation. Nothing is saying you have to endure that conversation. you have to put up with that. And so I don't. I am the most kind, because it's not personal. I don't give a darn what they say. It's not personal. In the kindest way, I just say, excuse me, I'm going to go walk my dog or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole key to knowing that I can't change a person, especially if it's in a situation like this. And especially, do you think you could change a person overnight in one dinner?
No.
Or in one holiday event or whatever it is? Absolutely not. So I think taking that out of the equation, that I think that if someone triggers me or someone says something that upsets me that they've been saying for the past, I don't know, 10 years or my whole childhood or whatever it is, do I think that this holiday season I could actually change something or I could get my point across or I could make a difference? No, I think for me, the way that I can make a difference is taking care of myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge, huge. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You deserve to care for yourself and to be cared for and to have people that love you and support you. And so if you do, if you find yourself listening to this and thinking, oh, you know, I can identify a couple of toxic people in my life or some relationships that really aren't healthy for me or are really causing me pain and suffering. The last piece that we wanted to share is to just don't feel bad about it or don't be hard on yourself about it, that you've done something wrong or that, you know, you've created a dynamic and, you know, there's something wrong with you. We all, this happens to all of us. Human beings are so complicated and layered and multifaceted with so many different personalities and traits and patterns and habits and perspectives and viewpoints. And just everything about humans is not easy to maneuver through. And so don't be hard on yourself if you're struggling with your relationships or you are noticing that maybe a relationship that you've had for a long time is no longer healthy or no longer one that you want to have in your life anymore. I do believe that relationships come into our lives for a reason or a season or a lifetime, you know, as the saying goes. And we can't always know what category a specific relationship is going to fall into. And we can't necessarily force a relationship to be in a category that we want it to be in. And so just being open and receptive to what a relationship is showing us and telling us and not trying to hold on to it or to fix it or to even let it change who we are is important when thinking about holding yourself in grace and compassion and forgiveness, especially at this time of year.
That's beautifully said, Michelle.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, I think, you know, I will share, I grew up with Leave It the Beaver.
I did not know that's where you were going to go.
And Norman Rockwell, you know, and all those things. And I remember going to bed at night, sometimes just closing my eyes thinking I wanted that kind of a family.
Yeah.
And I wanted things to be like that. And I wanted that Leave It to Beaver, Norman Rockwell type family.
Perfect. Family.
Yeah. And there's no such thing. I think society sets us up for failure. Like we all can't have whatever that is. I have not met anyone that has that. You know, it's just so sad because they paint the, you know, society or branding, or we call it branding today, but, you know, marketing and all that stuff paints this whole picture of what the holiday is supposed to be with the snow and the sleigh and Santa or Hanukkah, all the things, you know, that we have out there. Kwanzaa, all the holidays that we think about how they're supposed to be. Like they're supposed to be perfect, or they're supposed to be this family gathering where we put everything aside and we're all just a loving, caring, wonderful human being of families. And I think that sometimes we get that into our minds and then we show up at the family gathering and it's just not that way. I remember that's how I used to show up, thinking I'm going to show up this time and it's going to be the magical time that we're all one big happy family.
Well, that's where having realistic expectations of, or being clear on what reality is and not having these Sorry.
No, you're right. Not having these expectations.
Because I often would think that too.
Yeah.
And then I would be so devastated.
That it didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
And you end up the next day after the holiday gathering thinking, oh my gosh, that was a waste, or how I feel worse.
Yeah.
You know, or I feel more bad. And I think you're talking about not feeling bad. So I want to add on to what Michelle was saying, that if you're struggling with family members or family relationships or holiday gatherings or all of the things, don't feel bad about it. Like, we're all in the same boat with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone that's not in this boat. You have no idea how many messages we get about family relationships, about family struggles, especially during the holiday season.
Yep.
So not feeling bad about it, that it's just the way that it is. You know, it's interesting for me to think
about.
And
it's not saying anything about you.
Exactly.
That you're not good enough, or you're not worthy of better relationships, or you're not worthy of love or kindness or care.
Yeah. I guess I've kind of looked at my family life in particular as it's not good or bad. It just is. So somehow, I don't know if this is possible. It's taken me a long time, so it might not be possible for the next few weeks, whenever the holiday gatherings happen for you. But if you can start to get that intention that, you know, it's not good or bad, it just is. This is my family. This is my life. This is how it is. And I'm going to make it the best that I can possibly make it from the inside out. I'm not going to let the external world dictate to me what my family life is supposed to look like. But I am going to do my best to show up in the most loving, caring way that I can while I'm taking care of myself, but also showing loving care to the people around me that I love the most.
Yeah.
Even if I don't get that back from them.
Right.
Like I've always said, and we're going to do an episode on this, I think in the future, like in the next few weeks, maybe, Michelle, loving people from afar.
Mm-hmm.
I love my family. I would do anything for my family, but I don't really see them often.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how to explain it any better than that, but I love them. So there's a way that you can love people from afar, even if you feel, I don't know, you know, just abandoned, or you feel like this doesn't make any sense, or I don't like this, or I'm not okay with this.
Yeah.
And it takes time, but I think I just want to say, I like what you said, Michelle, don't feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up even more.
Yeah.
That your family is not what you want it to be, or it isn't what you hoped it would be. Like, be okay with what it is. And I think what's helped me the most is accepting myself for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And not beating myself up. Why didn't I do this different? Why couldn't I be different? Why did I do this? Or I wish I hadn't said that, or I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
You know, I always go back to Maya Angelou's quote, you know, forgive yourself, you know, for...
I think everyone listening knows where that's going. I think you quote that every episode. Forgive yourself for not knowing...
what you didn't know before you learned it. And I think sometimes it takes us a lifetime to learn certain things. And just forgiving yourself, forgiving... I'm not saying forgiving your family members. I don't even want to go down that path, but just knowing.
Accept what is in this moment,
exactly.
Knowing that you have a choice going forward of how you want to participate.
And you're doing the best that you can while you're taking care of yourself. So
yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah. You be deserve. Gentle on yourself. There is a lot going on this time of year, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, a lot of pressure and expectations, and just be gentle and take good care of yourself. And, you know, remember that you have a choice in certain situations. If you want to excuse yourself or take a break or say no, you know, do what you need to do to feel good, you know, from the inside out.
Well, our power, I'll end with this. Our power lies in knowing that we have a choice, and our freedom lies in knowing that we have a choice at any given moment.
Yeah.
And if the choice is that you need to protect yourself, do it. The choice is that you need to go for a walk, do it. The choice is that you want to do dishes instead of being in the kitchen cooking, do it. Yeah. Like, we always have a choice in any given situation. And I would just have to say, make sure that you're always taking care of yourself in every given situation.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thanks,
thank you.
Mom.
Love you.
So we hope that this is hopefully helpful for all of you in navigating some of the toxic or more difficult dynamics and relationships that you're facing, especially during the holidays. And always remember that you deserve love and kindness and care, and you are worthy of it always. And that we are so grateful and appreciative to all of you for being a part of this wonderful, supportive community. Thank you everyone so much for listening. If you haven't yet, make sure you liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode. If you haven't, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. It's super helpful for us into the show, and we're so grateful for you when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or future podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to stay in touch. There's a couple links in the show notes to register for our Substack. We have a couple with some fun stuff going on over there, so make sure you check it out. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, for everything that you shared with us today and always. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.